Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's Growmark, locally owned, globally strong. In this week's program, I'm going to share a couple of interviews that I did during the Alltech Revelation. This year, the Alltech Revelation was really kind of a combined annual symposium along with another event that they hold during the year where they invited those folks in. I think we had probably about 3,000 people in attendance this year. I think that might be a record for this annual customer event. During the event, I participated in a panel discussion that talked about the changing face of media and tried to answer some questions like, who do you trust these days? Very good question. I think we had a very good discussion on the panel and also had good questions from the attendees there. I started out the session kind of trying to make a challenge about the new media that we do with a couple of folks that are really involved in more traditional media, like publication and radio. But frankly, what we found out is we have a lot to agree on, and we do share a lot of types of channels that we're using today in order to disseminate our information. So I'd like to start out with an interview with Frank Mulrennan, who was the moderator for the panel. Frank, first of all, tell us what you do.
I'm Chief Executive Officer with Celtic Media Group, which is involved in the publishing of local weekly newspapers and printing of those newspapers in Ireland. And in a previous life, Chuck, I was a farming journalist involved in the daily and weekly coverage of farming matters. And also I was business editor with the main daily newspaper in Ireland.
You were our moderator yesterday for a panel discussion that focused on the changing face of media. What are some of the thoughts as you heard each of us talk, because we kind of covered a variety of traditional and new media channels that we work with?
Do you know, it was fascinating because people from a variety of platforms, when you consider the guys from cable TV, sports blogging, your own case, Chuck, in terms of the disciplines involved in the whole communication area. Obviously, Peter Baniak, the local newspaper editor-in-chief. So I thought it was fascinating. Obviously, online is the huge direction. It's absolutely taken as read that new media is the direction that is to be embraced. Clearly, as you will recall, I put a question to you guys as to where you each thought your industry or your part of the industry would be in 5 years' time, and there were quizzical answers back because it's very difficult to know.
Well, technology is changing so rapidly, it's hard to imagine, you know, from 10 years ago, what we were talking about in there would have been a foreign language 10 years ago to most people.
Well, it's interesting because even I've just come out of the session where Catherine Keogh, the Chief Marketing Global Marketing Officer here with Alltech, she was outlining the experience that Alltech had with the equestrian games here in Lexington, Kentucky in 2010, and also then the experience in Normandy, France in 2014. And the big difference was social media, because obviously in 2010 it wasn't such a big gig. I think going back to the panel discussion, a key factor that we tossed and turned between us was the trust factor. And obviously traditional media, such as the Herald Leader here in Lexington, has that longevity and trust. I did take note and totally accept that, given your own, again, longevity, if I might use the word, in the business, there's a trust and a credibility factor. Whereas a lot of, obviously, social media doesn't have trust because who are the authors?
And sometimes it's difficult to ascertain who the authors are, too.
Oh, for sure. So, what's certainly coming through in terms of this soup or menage that social media and new media is, what's coming through is the value of the brand. So if it's Agward, yeah, know those guys, yeah, can trust them. If it's somebody else that I haven't heard of, well, then obviously there's a health warning over the credibility of the source.
Yeah, I think that the credibility and when I spoke with Damien, who couldn't be on our panel, got here late last night, he mentioned ethics and kind of from a similar perspective that adds to that credibility because, you know, if you're a trained journalist, you kind of know what the standards are, and that includes ethics because many professional journalistic organizations have a code of ethics. That's not the case for just anybody out there that wants to start a blog or a Twitter account.
Oh, for sure. But also, if you think in terms of time efficiency, if I'm going to go online, if I'm going to be delving through social media, I'm most likely going to focus on the source that I know is going to provide the news or the opinion that is interesting or is credible or is both. Now, fine, if I want to spend time just browsing, reading ridiculous blog stuff, well, maybe that's one way to use time, but it's not how I would choose to do it.
Well, I thought I heard during the discussion that we all kind of agreed on content, and the value of that content is so important because anybody can write stuff, but if you're not writing, like you said, about what somebody's interested in, because I think of my audience, there's things that I will not publish because I know that audience. There's things I look for to publish because I want to be seen to be an aggregator for them so they don't have to go look and search for these things. And but still at the same time, it has to be informative. It may be entertaining in some time instances. And even in traditional media, you'll see, you know, a new program start. It doesn't last very long. Why? Because it was boring. Nobody liked it. Or, you know, that's just true as it was when there was newspapers only, as it is today with all these new choices we've got.
Well, sure. I mean, obviously the key issue for media is how do I fund resources that are going to provide the tried and trusted content. Obviously, there are operations that are low in resource, and I might, you set out your own stall on that, Chuck, and I very much appreciate that. When you take the resources that must be invested in the Herald Leader in Lexington, it's a heck of a challenge to make sure that the content does generate revenues, thereby replenishing those resources. I have that issue at home with my own company in Ireland. It's something you have to get up early in the morning to answer that question.
Well, when we started What Is Agwired, which is a blog, and I just don't say it anymore, but for probably the first year or so, as we joked about, we got to get up and feed the blog monster, you know? Yeah. He's hungry.
Yeah. No, I can readily relate to that. It was a real privilege to chair a panel of diverse journalists and broadcasters, but also, even though you guys were all coming from different tracks, it was interesting to spot the, as you say, the content issue, the trust issue, and that's what's very, very central to the theme.
Well, I hope that those who attended, and we had a very large crowd in the room, got some good takeaways from that. I heard some good feedback. I know you have, too. So, Frank, it's just been great to meet with you and work with you here at this Alltech Rebellation. I feel a little more rebellious right now after some of the things that I've learned. But as another good friend of mine likes to say, you know, he calls it getting womped up. You know, I come away from here usually tired, but kind of womped up to get to work, too, at the same time.
Chuck, it's a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
Peter did a great job moderating our panel, and one of the panelists who could not be there in attendance, Damien O'Reilly, was able to get to the conference. So I got him to stand with me in the hallway and talk a little bit about some of the ideas that he wanted to bring to our discussion. Damien, before we get into the topic here, I understand you had a little difficulty getting to the United States.
Well, I certainly would have been able to get to the moon far quicker. I left my house in Dublin at 6:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, arrived at the airport, and there were two failed attempts for us to leave. The flight was cancelled twice, so I got back home. Thankfully, I live fairly close to the airport in Dublin, so I was able to sleep in my own bed. We were told to come back the following morning. This is after about 8-9 hours in the airport. I came back on Monday morning again. It was deja vu. It was Groundhog Day, 6:30 a.m., up, arrived in the airport, and it was chaos, organized chaos, because the flight was cancelled once again. So anyway, I managed to get another flight to Atlanta, and everything was going swimmingly until I had to sit on the tarmac in Atlanta for 3 hours because of a thunderstorm. So I eventually arrived here in Kentucky at 8 p.m. local time last night, so it was quite a journey.
Yeah, we just call those the trips from hell, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just what they are. Well, you were going to be on a panel with me and a couple of other media personalities to talk about the changing face of media. Mm-hmm. Here's what I did. I got to start, so I thought I'd lay down the gauntlet, so to speak, and kind of not trash, but just say, you know, people in radio and in magazines and newspapers, TV, they're just all anachronisms, you know. Today it's all about new media. It's what we do on the web and our mobile phones. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, well, look, I look at somebody like you, Chuck. You're a knowledgeable guy. You follow agriculture. You're an independent sort of guy. I suppose just to give a few figures, in Ireland, 84% of adults listen to radio daily, which is quite good. So, you know, we are the original instant media because, you know, if a news story breaks, you switch on the radio, you hear it there and then. That's the problem that newspapers are finding. You know, the day of waiting until 24 hours later to actually read what today's news is crippling newspapers in today's world of new media. But having said that, younger people, everybody only has so much time in a given day to actually consume media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, online newspapers, traditional media, or listen to the radio. So we're all eating out of the same trough, as it were. So we've got to fight our corner. How do I fight my corner as a radio journalist, as somebody in what's called mainstream traditional media? Well, I went to journalism college. We have principles, you could say, journalistic principles, and that is to report the facts in an independent way, in an independent sort of manner. Sometimes I think that maybe people that are engaged in new media probably don't come from that tradition. They're probably coming at reporting the news, what they see as the news, from a campaigning point of view, from their own perspective, to try and promote their own agenda, which some people that are consuming that online may actually believe to be factual as independent news. That's where I have somewhat of a problem.
Well, let's face it. Excuse me. Let's face it. Even in trusted sources, we've had a few painful examples here in the United States of finding a respected journalist who, let's just say, was not really doing his job mm-hmm. from a journalistic standpoint. You know, seekers of the truth. Mm-hmm. You have to have that credibility, and I agree that there are so many people that can do their own self-publishing now via mm-hmm. blogs, and that it's allowed somebody like me to be independent and not have to go apply for here in the United States, apply for a license to transmit, for example. Mm-hmm. But so when I look at what I call the traditional media, that's where I come from. I was
yes.
on the radio side. I have and will always have a fond spot for radio just because of 20-something years. But those changes that are happening, a lot driven by technology, mm-hmm. we were talking to some marketing people here who I think wanted to kind of get a sense of what are some of the best avenues for them here for their business to try to target and how can they use our media as a mechanism to reach their audience or their customer, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, I think there are two separate issues here. You know, online media, digital media, call it what you wish, it gives the opportunity to businesses to promote their business in a free way. Years ago, they would have had to take out an advertisement in a local newspaper or on the radio. Well, now they can do it for free via their own Facebook page, via their own Twitter account, or whatever way they'd like to do it. Maybe they have their own podcast channel online, which people can subscribe to. That's fine, because people know what they're subscribing to. I mean, if, you know, Damien O'Reilly Incorporated, if I want to come on and tell everybody I am the best in the world and buy my product, well, people will make their own decision as to whether or not.
But you do that on the radio, right?
Well, we do. Well, to an extent. But look, there are traditional ethics associated with journalism, which we learned about in school. And one of them is that, you know, you don't defame people. You got to be very careful what you say on radio and what you write about. I think those ethics are under serious pressure in online media. I mean, I read comments online on news stories, or I read stories which, you know, if you're the editor of a newspaper, you would not publish, because you'd be up in front of a high court, in front of a judge, for defamation of character. So the ethics have suffered somewhat. There are so many different strands of digital media. I mean, there are newspapers, traditional newspapers, who are now going online, you know, and people can consume the daily news on their tablet or on their iPhone from the Washington Post or the New York Times. Then there are a lot of new breaking news type websites where they correlate the news stories that are happening and that are of relevance in whatever country they are actually in. You know, some of those are fine, because the articles and stories are written by journalists, people that value the ethics of journalism and finally seeking the truth in an independent, impartial sort of way. But there are others. There are a lot of these blogs and maybe chat rooms where people discuss issues online, which are totally biased and in a lot of cases very defamatory and are not based on any science or fact, but are based on personal opinion. And I worry that maybe a lot of people that are consuming that sort of material are growing up learning, instead, when I grew up, I mean, my father came home every day with the newspaper, and that's how I consumed media. I sat down and watched the TV news at 6 o'clock. That's how we consume the news media. Young people now that are becoming interested in media and consuming the media are doing so by visiting a lot of these websites, and they're being influenced by what their friends think, because they might have they'd be following different people on Twitter. They're influenced by what those people are actually highlighting or retweeting, and you know, if you pick up a newspaper, you see what's the big story of the day based on the headline on the front of the paper. You go inside and maybe on page 17 you see three paragraphs of a story. It gives you the impression that the story on page 17 that's three paragraphs long, in the eyes of the editor whom you trust, editing the newspaper that you buy and trust, is telling you it's not really an important story, whereas the story on the front page, or the exclusive that they have, they're telling you by giving it a splash on the front page, this is news, this is very big news. That distinction is very difficult to make online, because you're going in the morning through your Twitter feed and you're seeing, you know, breaking news. Is this a big story? So it's up to you to make that decision yourself, whether this is actually, you know, relevant news or whether it's just a bit of gossip and of no real significance. So look, they are just some of the issues that concern me as a traditional journalist. As I said, we got to compete, but you know, I am lucky in radio, as I said, in Ireland, in that a lot of people, as I said, 86% or 84% of adults still trust the radio to the point that they listen to it every day. So it's good to have that sort of an audience there that are still in us, they trust. So they would have been the points, Chuck, I would have got into had I made my appearance here yesterday in time, but it's great to be here, better late than never.
That's right. Well, one thing's for sure, I mean, people just need to listen to Damien and Chuck, and you'll get everything you need.
Exactly.
You just ignore the rest of that
stuff.
In a very impartial way.
Of course.
And one thing you said, when you mentioned like retweeting, I do want to make this point in the interview here, because it sort of came out yesterday, is the ability that people have now, whether it's on a newspaper website or somebody's Facebook page, to share what they... So they're going to take what they see or hear or
read.
That's
important to them.
And it's easy for them to share that with friends all over the world, even.
Yeah.
Whether or not, like you said, that may be factual information.
Yep.
It could be very unfactual.
Sure. Now, can I make a point? And there are people listening to this saying, you know, are you for real? There are newspapers that have agendas. There are broadcast channels that have agendas. Fox News, for example, would be seen to have a very right-wing, pro-Republican agenda. But at least when you're consuming that media, you know what angle they're coming at it from. But, you know, you have that choice to make. But can I just make an interesting point? This Friday in Ireland, we have a referendum on same-sex marriage. And it's a very, very divisive debate, as you can appreciate at home. Opinion polls say that it probably will be passed, but that the no campaign is catching up very fast in these last few days. But there was a debate on the most watched TV programme in Ireland 2 weeks ago called The Late Late Show. It's viewed by 700,000-800,000 people, population of Ireland 4 million, so putting it in perspective, it's a huge, maybe up to 1 million people watch it every Friday night. It's a chat show, which, you know, a mix of entertainment and news. But they had a discussion which had to be balanced again. As broadcast media, we have stopwatches running on our broadcasts to give everybody on either side equal right. If I interview somebody that's for gay marriage, I have to interview somebody that's against it. That's part of the Broadcasting Act, which stipulates we must do that. But getting back to my point, on the Late Late Show, they would have had a stopwatch running. Both sides would have got equal time and an equal opportunity to make their point of view. I did a little bit of a survey. I looked at the Twitter live feed as the broadcast was going out, hashtag Late Late Show, and 100% of the tweets were from people in support of introducing gay marriage. Not one agreed with the no campaigners. Now, when the votes are counted this Saturday, it will not be 100% for. So it just told me something, that Twitter, certainly, is not representative of public opinion in general. It's actually used, I think, more so by more radical thinking people in politics. Again, you know, it depends on who you follow, but this was a sporadic hashtag handle. It wasn't necessarily all the people that I follow that were commenting on it. It was a sporadic hashtag handle where 100% of the people that commented on Twitter on that discussion that night were all in favour.
Kind of like a flash. It's not
representative.
Twitter flash mob of tweeting.
Well, absolutely, but it's not. No, I'm not.
Of all like-minded people.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not for or against it. I'm neutral on this issue, as I have to be, and independent. But I thought it was a really classic example of how, you know, we need to stand back and say, hold on a minute, I mean, you know, digital media has its faults, and that is one of them, where people actually that would read that Twitter line would actually be in the belief, the mistaken belief, thanks to Twitter, that 100% of the people in Ireland voting this Friday are going to be for the gay marriage referendum. And
well,
that
thank
is
God
just
we're
not
like in maybe China or
sure.
somewhere where
North Korea.
They just decide, yeah, we'll just chop off everybody's hands that uses Twitter, and then
maybe being a little unfair to the Chinese there, but I know where you're coming from. There are places in the world where freedom of expression is bad. And freedom of expression is brilliant. And can I say that without social media, I mean, we use it to promote our program. We have a Twitter account, we have a Facebook account, and we find it absolutely fantastic. It's also giving radio a wonderful opportunity in terms of podcasting. I mean, people that don't listen to my program on a Saturday morning for various reasons can, when they have time later on, podcast it or download you know, a podcast or listen back. And that's all part of the whole social media development, which, as I said, we're riding on the back of as well. So it's not all bad, but I'm just pointing out some of the pitfalls that people, particularly younger people, need to be aware of, I think, Chuck, when they're consuming media like that.
Well, I'm glad you pointed it out. I'm sure that, because I'm not sure what my daily audience would be if I was doing something quite that regular, but it's not inconceivable. We'll be talking to hundreds of thousands of people, you know.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
Well, we want them to follow. Damien, you're on Twitter at...
Yeah, we're at RTE Countrywide. Countrywide is the name of the program which we broadcast every Saturday morning in Ireland. It's a live show which focuses on food, agriculture, rural affairs, and... you know, we've a really, really healthy listenership. We're in the top 15 most listened to radio programs in Ireland. And, you know, that's growing. So it shows that a lot of people are, you know, what I read from that is that people are more and more interested in where their food comes from than they might have been many years ago and how it's produced. And the fact that 90% of our listeners are actually non-farmers, you know, proves that point. If people want to tune in, or they can follow us on Twitter, and they can go to the rte.ie website, and again, social media to an extent, and they can listen back to our program. But look, I'm not being down on people that, you know, run very good, very healthy websites, news websites, blogs, a lot of fantastic blogs. They're a wonderful source of information for us journalists. But I just feel at times that maybe people masquerading, campaigners masquerading as journalists, they need to be, you need to know what angle somebody is actually coming from in reporting the news. And I've come across a lot of examples of journalists who are really just campaigners when you scratch the surface a little bit.
Well, thank you, Damien. I know you're just down on American Airlines right now and have very good reason for that, but glad you got here.
Yes.
And can participate in what I think is one of the most fantastic events that I go to during the year.
Yeah.
And that's, we've called it the Alltech Symposium. This year it's Rebelation. We're all learning how to become rebels here.
Yes.
And as if we weren't, some of us.
Yeah.
But,
well, I think there's a little bit of an Irish twang to that. Pierce Lyons, of course, an Irishman, yeah. And... you know, rebels has a certain emotive and distinctive sort of image conjured up when it's mentioned back home in Ireland. But yeah, it's an interesting concept for this year's symposium called, being renamed, Rebelation.
Well, again, that's Damien O'Reilly from Ireland, and glad he could be here. He was to be one of the panelists on the Changing Face of Media during the, I believe they call it the business marketing track here. If you go to agwire.com and search for the Changing Face of Media, you'll find a post that has a video clip that I put on YouTube from my iPhone, because during our session, one of the panelists mentioned the Periscope app for Twitter, so I fired mine up, and we did a little live broadcast from there, which we had, you know, not a lot of people watching, but quite a few over the course of a half an hour. If you'd like to see that and hear some of the things as we talked about them live, it's there, right there on YouTube. Well, that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.